Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Paganampike Pagan alongside Ian McNally. It's time for another edition of Cinemail, our show where we like to hear from you about what you're watching, about what you think about all the latest movies out in cinemas. You know, you can talk to us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/@themoviesmy. You can even send us an email. Write an old-fashioned letter to movies at bfm.my. And of course, you can tweet Ian and I. I'm on @UmaPagan. Ian's on McNasty Prime. And yeah, and you guys have been doing it. You've actually been sending us lots of mail. I asked a question on Facebook last night, and we got a ton of responses.
I'm still scrolling.
But before we get to that, however, I do have a couple of emails that we got, Ian. Let me just read them out to you very quickly. One of them is from Keith Leong, who says, "Dear At The Movies, the first movie I ever watched in the cinema, or rather the first movie I ever watched alone by myself, was Autumn in New York, starring Richard Gere and Winona Ryder. It was, if I'm not mistaken, early 2001, and I was an A-level student. The cinema was the old great TGV at Wanutama. Wow. The movie bombed and reinforced the notion that Ryder's career was on a decline, with the shoplifting allegations Nadir following shortly after. Indeed, she has arguably only just recovered. But I still enjoyed it immensely, simply because it was the first for me doing something grown up. I guess the cinematography, mostly of the high-end affluent parts of New York, and the wonderful soundtrack by Gabriel Yared also painted in me the beginning, however nascent, of my enduring love affair with New York. Today, it stands as an interesting time capsule of pre-9/11 Manhattan, of a sort of age of innocence before the world was irrevocably changed." Well, thank you very much for that, Keith. Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's a...
I've never even heard of this movie.
Have you not?
No.
Oh, I've seen this movie.
And?
It's not great. But you know what? It's got great memories for Keith, so yeah. We're not going to crap all over this film.
No.
However, it was one of those late 90s, early 2000 rom-coms, you know, which Hollywood used to make. Let's take a bunch of A-listers, string them together and see what happens.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll happen upon another Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan combination. It never really worked out,
yeah.
Right? Another email from Yahya, who writes in to say, "I just learned the news that one of the cast of Veronica Mars committed suicide, and this recommendation is a tribute for him. Veronica Mars was truly an underrated show that got cut after season 3. The show starred Kristen Bell and elevated her career as a titular character, a high schooler, then moonlighter as a private investigator. Nope, this is not Nancy Drew. It was way darker than Nancy Drew. She assisted her father, a cop turned PI, because his suspicion on a powerful man in his town about a homicide case turned his career upside down. If you think Riverdale is dark, Riverdale is actually a watered-down version of Veronica Mars." And the dark tone made me wonder, was this rated R, and was there a strong interruption from the network to not reviewing it? But rejoice, there was a crowdfunded movie almost 10 years later with the original cast, and full of throwbacks and what-ifs tying up some loose knots. Thanks and warmest regards. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Veronica Mars.
I never got into it for some reason. I think it maybe didn't get broadcast in the UK at the time or something like that. Or I was too busy watching Buffy.
So I got into Veronica Mars by a kind of like a really twisted roundabout way, in the sense that I think I was enjoying The West Wing, I was enjoying The Gilmore Girls, and someone told me, hey, if you like those two things, Veronica Mars is another show where people speak at the speed of lightning, yeah. And it's littered with pop culture references.
It's a very weird Venn diagram.
It is, right? And there's lots of walking and talking, there's Kristen Bell and a whole bunch of PI mystery stuff that needs solved. So yeah, that's how I got to Veronica Mars, and totally addicted. I love that show. You should check it out. Which brings me to my question: what movie did you most want to see a sequel to? And boy, did we get some answers.
I do think, though, we got the very first response from Keith Long that would say, I would like to see a Mighty Ducks 4 or even a reboot. The time is right for it. I think if you had four movies, you're not getting an underappreciated sequel opportunity. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's nostalgia speaking, although I would like to see another Mighty Ducks movie. It's been a long time since I've seen that kind of sport movie.
Yeah, because, I mean, after things like Kingpin and a few other movies where they didn't win, which itself is a great lesson. How do you reinvent the sports movie these days without making it seem obvious?
Michael Chang writes, the real question should be, what movie hasn't got a sequel yet? I'd go for WALL-E, but it ended perfectly, so let's leave it. Ditto Inside Out, Up, and the other still standalone Pixar movies. The 1980s Transformers, the movie, deserved a sequel, and no, the Bayhem ones don't count.
They don't.
Also, Serenity, Kung Fu Hustle, Shaolin Soccer, and Dread.
Yeah, I think they all stand on their own. And I think, like, Shaolin Soccer stands on its own.
Correct.
And so does Kung Fu Hustle. Guys dancing with those axes is just cool.
Amazing, amazing. Arvind actually echoes the statement about Dread. Same style, same budget, same Carl Urban. Maybe switch the location to the Cursed Earth this time. That should be fun.
No, you do if you're going to do a Dread sequel, you know, if you get it, you're getting it by the skin of your teeth. You have to do the Dark Judges. You have to do Judge Death, Judge Fear. Judge,
I would love to see that on the screen.
There's a fire. I want to see. I still haven't bought this T-shirt, but Judge Fear has like a helmet that opens, and there's like fear is inside of it, and there's just this great, I think it's Brian Bolland panel, which just is like, you know, fear attacks Dread and says, "Gaze into the face of fear," and Dread just punches him in the face and just says, "Gaze into the fist of Dread." I want to see Carl Urban doing that.
Thomas Barker says Titanic.
Yeah, well. Raise the Titanic was on TV a lot in the
UK. Kind of. Raise the Titanic was on TV here a lot as well.
And that was before Bob Ballard found out that it was in two pieces.
Yes, exactly. Well, no, I think there is actually a Titanic 2 out there.
Titanic Harder?
Well, kind of. This time it won't sink. Yeah, so I think there is a Titanic 2, but, you know, Jack's back.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a movie I'd watch.
General sequel talk. I did see a tweet during the week. I can't remember who it was from, and it was just somebody said, like, you know, Die Hard 2 better than Die Hard, don't at me. And there was just thousands of responses. It was like, get out of here. Or delete your account. All seemed to be in the same tone as like the first tweet, which was like, you know, jokingly, because obviously who would think Die Hard 2 is better than Die Hard? But the Die Hard to Die Harder method, like, I still, there's one of them from Frida Liu says, there's something about Mary. I think there's still something about Mary could be good.
Weijun says Shaun of the Dead.
We got there's a fine line between following up with a well-loved sequel and leaving well enough alone. And I don't think you can capture that Cornetto trilogy magic more than three times.
I don't think you can. The third movie was stretching it.
Yeah.
To be fair. Kenny Lim says Constantine, the Keanu Reeves version. Now, I can really get behind this. As much as I liked Matt Ryan as Constantine on the TV show, it was so badly written that it deserved to die.
Also, he is English and his accent sounded weird.
What I liked about the Keanu version, of course, was that it almost was a precursor to John Wick, in the sense that Keanu was a badass.
Yeah.
Which Matt Ryan wasn't. Matt Ryan kind of went down the tortured John Constantine route.
Matt Ryan also wasn't helped by the fact that every time he turned up on a scene, his shirt was freshly ironed.
Yes.
He said, like, it was designer ruffled, not actually, I've just slept in a ditch because I'm John Constantine.
That's true. Cara Lee wants to see Elf. A sequel to Elf, Will Ferrell return as Buddy, and she actually has a plot as well.
Well, this is one that can definitely be like, this is definitely Elf 2, Elf Harder.
Elf Harder, right? Yeah. Buddy's son ends up a rebellious teenager who wants to leave the North Pole to see the world. He goes to New York to stay with his grandfather and ends up getting chewed up in the cutthroat corporate world. Buddy leaves the North Pole in search of his son to bring him home. Love triumphs at the end of the day as father and son reunite to continue the elves' legacy of bringing joy to the world.
Wow, she's really thought this one out.
She has. Kuber Jaswani says Fast and the Furious. I'm calling him an idiot.
Yeah. There is a sequel to Fast and the Furious, a very little known movie called Torque. Check it out.
The Golden Compass, based on the fantastic books by Philip Pullman. This was suggested by Umesh Ganesan, and I agree. I mean, that was originally set up to be a trilogy anyway, based on the books.
They need to redo that.
They need to redo that.
I mean, the whole ending of the first book was completely nerfed by that film.
Yeah, because they went safe. Yeah. They went completely safe.
Which is not the point of those books at all.
No, Philip Pullman is writing this meditation which is so a-religious and, well, not a-religious, anti-religious, that if you were trying to make a big Hollywood movie, I can see how the studios were freaking out at the notion of a children's movie that is anti-religious, but
and
still.
Also a children's movie where children die.
Children die,
horribly,
correct.
And you can't, and like that, but that drives the ending of the first book and the follow on to the second book, and they completely whiffed on that at the end of the first movie, and it was just like, there's no end to this movie.
Shama Ramasamy writes in, and this I like, no movie comes to mind right now, but what we really desperately need to be continued is Carnival, which is on HBO, cancelled after 2 seasons. I was absolutely gutted, along with legions of riled up fans of the show. Uma, you have to try and catch this if you've never seen it. Nope, I loved Carnival. I actually owned it on DVD.
Well, were they local DVDs or were they the real DVDs?
They were the real thing.
I have them on local DVDs, but I never got into it fully. I was one of those things I kept setting aside for a rainy day to watch, and I never got back into it.
You got to get to that.
There
That's
was one
good.
Comment that really stuck out to me, which was by Nigel A. Skelchi, The Spiderwick Chronicles.
Oh, yeah, based on the very popular YA novels.
Yeah, and that had, was it Freddie Highmore?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, I saw this movie in the cinema, and I remember vague goblins. There was goblins, right?
I think there was goblins.
I think you could only see them with certain glass. I don't know. I remember sticking out to me as like, it was in a lull of like not great kids movies, and it was a good, like some better critic has made the distinction between kids movies and children's movies.
Yes.
Have you seen that? I can't remember. I think children's movies are ones that an adult is rolling their eyes at throughout, whereas kids movies are ones that are timeless, like Goonies, or they can entertain children of all ages, but adults will find something in them. And I thought the Spiderwick Chronicles had that, and I presume there were more books.
I can't remember anything about the Spiderwick Chronicles, but
I'm amazed I remembered Freddie Highmore's name. He was everywhere for a while and then disappeared, right?
I may go check it out again, just as a reminder.
There was a house and they moved in and the mum was annoyed, and it was a Gremlins vibe to it, I think.
I can't remember.
There was like evil goblins and maybe some nice ones helping him or something.
Drawing a blank. Complete blank.
So never mind a sequel, you need a rewatch. And then
I need
we can
a
talk
rewatch,
about sequels.
Yeah. Mark DePaolo writes, Blomkamp's Alien sequel, yes. Or Furiosa spin-off.
Mm.
Also,
well,
yes.
That's supposed to be what the next movie is supposed to do. George Miller is supposed to be working on.
Yeah, but George Miller's going to take another 10 years to make that.
Yeah, longer. I mean, they're probably waiting for it to stop raining in wherever they're shooting this time.
But Blomkamp's Alien sequel, if you don't know, Neil Blomkamp, of course, is the guy who wrote and directed District 13. District 12?
District 9.
District 9, sorry.
District 13 is the sequel.
There you go. And he had this whole outline for an Alien sequel. He had sketches done up, and there was a whole thing. And then eventually...
Ridley Scott said no.
Yeah, eventually Fox dropped it and just went, oh, well, Ridley Scott wants to tell this philosophical story with Michael Fassbender. Let's make that instead.
Once Scott's finished his trilogy of shame, I reckon Blomkamp will be getting a phone call.
Yeah, we can't actually get to all of your comments because we're going to be here for an hour if we do. There's a lot of stuff. Jessica Wong says, Gattaca. For me, that movie was kind of perfect. Mm. I thought it ended well. I thought it told the story it wanted to tell. And it left me with a moral dilemma. And I was really, really happy with that.
Mm. Isabel Taken, Dying of Fire for The Love Guru. I sat through that movie once. I don't want to sit through anything like it ever again. What is it you can't face? Do you remember that joke?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. weird fat Val Kilmer. So many things wrong with that movie. Dear Lord. Nisha Slomos, this is going to sound cheesy, but 50 First Dates. I think that would be good. You can just call it 50 First Dates in the 51st State. Combine those two movies, put Samuel L. Jackson and Robert Carlyle in it with Adam Sandler and what's the girl's name?
Drew Barrymore.
You know, that could be great. It's like she can't remember, but they're also drug dealers.
Hollywood, call it.
That was, no, seriously, every time I talk about either the 51st State or 51st Dates, people always get confused.
Emily Tan says Serenity, and yeah, we're still on that. I mean, Firefly, Serenity, I want to see more of those just because I've been reading the comics, which are kind of official sequels to what's been going on in the series, and I miss those characters because they were a lot of fun.
There's a YouTuber video series called Movies with Mikey. Have you seen the one for Serenity?
No.
In that, he goes through the reasons why it should never come back. And it's partially because the show is like the ship and like the crew. Too good to live. And, you know, just like everyone starts dying at the end. It's like the show knows what it's doing. Like, if it had gone on, it wouldn't have made the same sense.
Probably not.
Having characters die the way they did, having the situation summed up the way they did, they wouldn't have had the same impact on the TV. And like, people are watching it going like, oh, dear Lord, they're going to kill everybody in this. And that feeling is what that show's about. Those are powerless characters in a world that's against them, and it kind of works really well in that. And he says it in a really much poetic way, and it's really good. It's a very good watch. So check that out.
Before we wrap, let's look at some recommendations. Ian McNally, do you have a recommendation for us?
I have two, almost. I'm going to follow up on what I said earlier. Movies with Mikey is a YouTube channel, and it's not he's not reviewing movies that come out. He's just talking about movies he likes. And some of them are just like, they make me tear up. I think it's Mad Max Fury Road video and looking at like how George Miller is looking at patriarchy and sustainability and like Max not being the hero and analyzing all that and the furore that came out around the movie and everything. He just does it in a really nice way. And also there's nice recurring jokes and things like that
nice.
That make me laugh constantly. Like I think while I was sick over last weekend, I just watched like 3 hours of it nonstop. I went back through his back history. The one on Serenity is very, very good as well. Just ties it into a woman sobbing in the cinema behind him when the movie was coming to an end because she thought everyone was going to die. And it's just really nicely done. The other thing I want to endorse is a Twitter account. Now that everyone's got really long names on Twitter, seriously, Twitter, what the hell are you doing? The real names are pointless now because they change every day and people just make up stuff. But the actual account name is @CarlinSpace, CarlinSpace. I came across this guy ages ago and he's been watching Star Trek and Deep Space Nine. I don't know where he's doing it on his laptop or what, but he's capturing the subtitles and adding titles into them. And it's just, I find it hilarious. It's just, you know, I think that he started watching Deep Space Nine now and he's re-edited the title, says doing it 69. It's a level of the humor, but even just like there's the screen grab of Kira saying to Sisko, where the Enterprise is still waiting, and like he just commented, while the Enterprise was waiting for Sisko to get back to them, Troy was possessed by a ghost, Data nearly destroyed the ship three times, and Riker banged three ladies. And it's just like little kind of like in jokes that are not like super in, but also just play on weird things that he's done himself. He constantly refers to Data as Beepo. And I just find that hilarious. And just, you know, or he'll capture screen caps where someone's doing something stupid and in the TNG text just has, we'll be right back.
Nice.
So I'd recommend having a look at that. It's quite funny.
What's it called again?
@CarlinSpace is his handle.
I've got a book to recommend, which is just out actually. It is The History of Magic in Harry Potter.
Oh.
And it's actually by the British Library.
What?
Because the British Library are having a huge look back at Harry Potter and this massive exhibition. And they've written this hardcover academic look at the history of magic in Harry Potter. It's
fantastic.
And does
it give all the references to everywhere that J.K. Rowling rips stuff off from?
Ooh, mean and nasty. You can tweet McNasty Prime with your complaints. But, you know, it's got edited versions of her pages, and it's got a look back at all the history throughout the seven books and the movies and all of that
stuff. Oh, so it's about the books and her, not about the in-universe history.
Oh, no. It's got the in-universe history as well,
right.
And it's got stuff about her, about the books, about the movies. It's everything about magic and Harry Potter, which is kind of cool. So if you're a Harry Potter fan, I'm not the biggest Harry Potter fan, but I like documents like this. I like books like this, which kind of dive deep into movie mythology, right? It's definitely definitely one for you. And you can find it in Malaysian bookstores. So it's pretty cool. And I think it's actually on 25% discount as well on Kinokuniya, which is why I picked it up. So you can go check it out. I think it's the... And it's by the British Library. The British Library. That's like a real, genuine, like, organization.
It's a real library,
It's a real thing. You know, it's got credibility.
It's probably... There must be... Are they looking to tie into the Fantastic Beasts publicity train, which just kicked off?
Just kicked off. Yeah. It's got a title, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Yeah, and it's also got to be, like, I think what everyone's tweeting about it is, like, it's magic. Can we get rid of Johnny Depp?
And it's got Jude Law in an amazing beard.
Is he? Is that him? Oh, I didn't recognize
him. That's him. There you go. He plays Dumbledore.
Oh, yes,
a young Albus Dumbledore. So tell us, folks, what movie would you like to see a sequel to, most like to see a sequel to? You can tweet me. I'm on @UmarPagan.
I'm on @McNastyPrime.
After this, Ian and I stick around to talk The Punisher. We review the latest Marvel series on Netflix. Don't go anywhere. This is At The Movies on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys. A partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.